Hey everybody, before we get started with the show, just want to kind of let you know what we've been working on. Since we started the show, we've had people ask us if we have any plans on setting up a Patreon, a Kickstarter, an Indiegogo, anything for ways for fans of the show to be able to support and get more involved. And, well, we didn't feel good about it at the time. We wanted to make sure that we had a good long-term vision of the show, that we were going to stick around, and that Overwatch was going to do as well as it clearly is. And now we're ready. So we've launched our Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. And from there, you can see some really cool perks, including getting some game time with Kevin, Jimmy, and I. And, yeah, it's going to be really exciting stuff. So if you like the show, want to get involved, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast, and we hope to see you in the game soon. Enjoy episode 33.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 33 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is July 28th, 2016, and from Denver, Colorado, I am John Horstman, and I'm only a little bit angry this evening, but we'll be okay. First, from sunny Camarillo, right? California, Jimmy Bloxham. Yes. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, it's good to be back on the show with all this here. This is awesome. You had a great show last week. I was able to listen to that and watch the VOD, and it was wonderful. But I'm glad to be back in front of the camera talking about Overwatch.
It is good to be back. I just there's something special about having the three of us back and just doing our thing. But Rosh was amazing. We definitely heard everybody saying how much they enjoyed her on the show. So, you know, stay tuned, I guess, just whatever. From sunny, oh my gosh, where are you from? Saskatoon, Canada. It's Kevin Obdestad. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John. I didn't realize it was that forgettable, but yeah, it is sunny, which is nice. I totally enjoyed the Ross show, too, for what that's worth. I thought she did a really great job. I was commenting before we got ready to jump in here how it was really kind of adorable listening to how much giggling she did. I actually remember you commenting on Jimmy doing that the first couple shows. But Jimmy, I think you're going to get one-upped on giggling by Rosh. So
Jimmy will always
out-giggled.
Jimmy will always be the giggle meister in my book. He truly will. All right.
That's good.
Well, on that awkward silence, let's go ahead and talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Kev, how did it go?
It was okay. I haven't had a ton of time to play. Obviously, being away last week and everything else just sort of cramped my style a little bit. But I did play a little bit. I've been trying to get a couple of games of competitive in every night on PC, and it's rough. Like it seems like for whatever reason I'm sitting in like the mid 40s, right? And at that level, I don't know if it's just the caliber of player or the interest level, but you get a lot of people who, if they don't get their way, will leave or not play well. If things go poorly the first few seconds, people bail on games. And I don't understand that. As a gamer, I've never been one like, even if I know I'm going to lose, I play it all the way through and I try my hardest the whole time because it's a learning experience for me. So that's been frustrating, but the game itself is great. The balance feels really good. I'm really enjoying some of the changes they've made. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about one hero limit and competitive later, but that I think has been an overwhelmingly positive change. So on the whole, the game is super fun. I hope that maybe some of the people who aren't having fun maybe stop trying to play and interfering with my ability to have fun.
That's totally fair. I definitely know what you're alluding to on that one. Jimmy, though, you've been on a tear this week, man. You've been keeping us up to date on all your Overwatch adventures. How'd it go for you this week?
Yeah, I finally finished out my placement matches in competitive, got ranked 36, so I guess it's all right for not playing a whole lot. But then I immediately went up to rank 37 playing my first post placement match game, and it was a really great, like, close match on Gibraltar, and there was one other person on the team who was communicating over mic, and I think that was what kind of really sealed it for us. So we had a really crazy hold on defense, and then we just kind of tore through on attack. So it felt really good. And I'm really liking how competitive this felt so far. And I know Kevin already alluded to it. We're going to talk a lot about One Hero Limit, but I'm absolutely loving it in competitive right now. It just feels really, really good in this game. And I'm super excited for the future of this game now.
That's good, because you're doing a podcast about it, and we need that optimism. So I appreciate it, and I'm glad that you think this is a good game. That's good. Well, we've got some exciting stuff to talk about this week. Let's jump into the news, shall we?
This week in Overwatch.
Bunch of stuff this week, but not necessarily Overwatch stuff. So we'll get that out of the way first. So there's a new World of Warcraft expansion, WoW Legion, coming out August 30th of this year for those looking to renew their subs. And I think there's some new stuff in the game, isn't there, Kevin?
There totally is. So for anyone who has pre-purchased Legion, which is launching at the end of next month, August 30th, some of the goodies from the game are now available in Overwatch. So you get the Legion-themed sprays and icons in Overwatch starting now or anytime between now and when you purchase Legion. They're available to anybody who buys that digital deluxe or collector's edition version of the next World of Warcraft expansion. So if you're already on that hype train, you've got that stuff in the game, good for you. If you're not, obviously we're an Overwatch podcast, but we love all things Blizzard, and Legion is looking like it's going to be some of Blizzard's best work ever on their world famous MMO. So give it a thought.
I definitely have noticed. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I don't know how this unlocked on my account, because I have not pre-ordered Legion, so
it's not. I'm under the understanding that it's not even. It's for everybody, no strings attached.
Oh
yeah,
so just Jeff Kaplan.
Yeah, Jeff Kaplan.
So they just put him in the game. Posted, okay, like, that makes here's more sense.
Free stuff. Blizzard hasn't announced like the digital goodies for BlizzCon yet, which I'm assuming we'll probably get. I'm so bad at this camera thing. Sorry, video listeners. So long story short, we don't know what's coming out for the BlizzCon stuff yet, but this is just like a free, no strings attached thing, which is pretty cool. It's just free stuff. Nobody can be mad about this. Maybe Kevin. Kevin can be mad.
I'm just mad all the time.
Just curmudgeon-y. I get it.
I'm like the Hulk.
The
tiny Canadian Hulk.
The tiny Canadian non-threatening Hulk.
Watch it. Watch it.
Non-threatening Hulk.
Brutal.
So we also got the BlizzCon goodie box. Bag in a box is what they're calling it this year, with some really cool stuff. Jimmy, what do you think about some of these things, especially the Overwatch goodies?
I think it's pretty cool. It's a nice bit of stuff here, and the price is really right for those of you who weren't able to secure a physical ticket. You can actually get the digital ticket now, and also buy the goodie bag for $35, which is pretty good. You get a Blizzard BlizzCon 10th anniversary Stein, and also for Overwatch, the inflatable Reinhardt's hammer. So you can, I just can see we're going to be at BlizzCon, people are just going to be wailing on each other with this stupid thing. It's going to be funny.
I'm coming for you, Kev. I'm coming for you with that thing.
But that'll be good. There was the Diablo dice,
yep.
A StarCraft topper antenna for topper. Your antenna. And I don't remember exactly what it's. Oh, the guitar pick for ETC for Heroes of the Storm is a keychain. And did I miss anything?
The yeah, Horde coasters Alliance from World coasters. Of Warcraft.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so the cool flippable. Stuff. So in the past, last year, the big thing was the messenger bag, which is a pretty nice bag. To be completely honest, didn't actually ever really use the messenger bag. But it's really nice, really quality messenger bag. And this year they've replaced the bag with a box. And I think the Stein is supposed to be the big thing this year that you get. And it looks amazing. I've never drank from a Stein before. So I'm looking forward to that, unless I never do.
You will. I think it's clever, right? Like, they've kind of moved the needle in years gone by. Like, my first BlizzCon was 2007, and it was just like miscellaneous plastic goodies. The most exciting thing I think I got in that one was like a Hearthstone keychain. And this is literally like a little ball that looked kind of vaguely like a Hearthstone. They've really stepped up their game. Like, a lot of the memorabilia and collectibles they're putting out, even just for free, or if they're doing like the goodie bag purchases like this, there's something in there that is worth that money to you. Like, I'm looking at these things and thinking, if they were to turn around and say, yeah, we sell some of this stuff on the store, for example, like, I would pay happily for a BlizzCon themed Stein or mug or a set of Diablo themed polyhedral dice or whatever. Like, these are products that people are going to be excited to actually own and use, not just gimmick one-off collectibles. They're not a bouncy ball and a keychain. Like, they've done a really cool thing here.
Yeah, I definitely think compared to last year too, like, there was a lot of things. Now, I don't do those dice games, so like they'll sit on my shelf. I won't put a StarCraft antenna topper on my car. I'm just going to be honest. Although it is going to be funny at BlizzCon, for those who drive, you'd be like, that's my car. It's the one with the StarCraft antenna topper. And then everybody else will have it too. But besides that, I think it's really cool. And in the end, it's $40 plus shipping and handling to get it to you for virtual ticket owners, which is also $40, right? So,
yeah.
So if you want,
and that's definitely worth grabbing if you've never gotten it before, especially if you're in Overwatch. I imagine Overwatch will be saturated with panels this year as we move on to kind of, I guess, the post support of the game going forward. I'm sure they'll talk a lot about new maps, new heroes and stuff like that. And it'll be really cool to see. And there's also the closing concert. We have no clue who it's going to be this year, but in the past they've had some really great acts perform there,
except for Linkin Park.
Yeah, no, Linkin Park was better than Blink 182, at least. Thank goodness. Blink 182 was terrible.
Blink was for sure the worst thing they've ever brought in.
So yeah. I've never actually seen them, but I have been a big fan of Blink 182. So okay, they're a bad live band, I get it, but I ended up playing Hearthstone with Yang Wu during the Linkin Park concert, so. I guess Young and I aren't fans. Just kidding. You probably is a fan, but just wanted to hang out in the tavern.
No, I was actually sure playing Hearthstone as well at the same time.
No, I like abused my press privileges. I was like right up in the front row for that Linkin Park show. That was a really like impressive live set. They put a really good show on.
I abused it a few years ago for Metallica. I was
that would have been cool to see.
Metallica was cool.
Very cool.
That would have been cool to see. I'm not a big Metallica fan, but you can't like not respect what they've
done. It's just
done.
So iconic as a band. Yeah, yeah.
You can't really argue with that for sure. So next up, we also got Blizzard and Dark Horse Comics teaming up for, we now have the title, Overwatch First Strike. It's a graphic novel releasing in physical form April 2017, coming in digital form this November. Weird November. I wonder if it's like November 5th, 6th, 7th, around there. I wonder if there'll be a special attendee thing, maybe. Do you think that BlizzCon attendees could maybe get the physical copy earlier.
Not if it's printing in April. It's way too big of a lead time for that.
Well, so much for that question. Like... Let's move on.
I mean, I'm thinking that they'll probably be able to announce additional content at BlizzCon. They'll probably be in a position to say that they're doing more of that kind of stuff. Because by the time we get to another couple, 3 months of stuff, they're going to have all the shorts, all the animated shorts, this first graphic novel, maybe more in the works. Overwatch as a setting has so much story to tell. I would be blown away if they don't have a whole bunch of that kind of stuff planned for us. So, but yeah, I'm actually really thankful that they are releasing a physical product. Finally, that was sort of the one thing that we've all said over the course of the last few months, as the shorts have rolled out. It's like, I love them. Awesome. But put them on a nice glossy print and let me own them and put them on my shelf. I want this physically in my life. So this will be something that even if I don't read several times, I will pre-order and probably in duplicate.
I'm not a huge comic guy, but I will get every single Overwatch comic that they decide to make, or graphic novel. Sorry. Kitty and I had our first fight over the definition of comic book and graphic novel. So it's a graphic novel. And yeah, sorry, Jimmy, you were saying.
On the other hand, though, if that's the kind of fights you guys are having, put a ring on that.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're discussing graphic novels. We're discussing who shot first in Star Wars.
Oh God, and that's not a discussion.
All
right, we got it. We're moving on. Let's talk about these patches here, because this is not going down that way. So we had two patches this last week. The first one on July 21st, the major change was attack time has been reduced by a minute to go down from 5 minutes on round to 4 minutes. But the larger patch was came out 2 days ago. So last week on the show, Rosh was with us and is telling us how strong McCree is, or maybe too strong, and how bad Pharah is, really. And well, she was right, and they've done some changes. First, Ana's biotic rifle rate of fire has been increased by 20%. Mag size increased from 8 to 10, but McCree's falloff range was reduced by 10 meters, and to compensate for that, his fan the hammer rate of fire was increased by 15%. And his flashbang recovery time was reduced from 0.5 seconds to 0.35 seconds. So they're making up for it in the short range for what he lost in the long range. Kevin, do you agree with these changes?
Broadly, yes. I mean, I think Ana needed some help, and the rate of fire on the rifle made sense. To be honest, I've read the conversation and the feedback elsewhere, and I kind of agree. I don't even know that the biotic rifle needs to have a magazine size limit at all, just given the reload time and rate of fire. Maybe with the rate of fire buff, it'll be a little bit more important that there is a downtime period where she's forced to reload. But right now it sort of feels like it just doesn't matter. On the other hand, though, the McCree stuff, I think, is definitely a step in the right direction. I guess I'm of the opinion that I liked seeing McCree back and having that sort of cool longer range effectiveness when they upped fall off distance. Now it's kind of they've left it halfway in between, right? They took the old fall off distance, doubled it, and then they've cut it back 25%. So it's still up from where it was pretty substantially, but it kind of puts him back in the same range as effectiveness as like Soldier, give or take. And obviously you're still very reliant on landing those big headshots and stuff, but it's going to change your ability to play him as like a quasi sniper and use him at long distances. When they talked about making tweaks to him and that he was back under review again, the first thing I said was that if they want anybody to ever use Fan the Hammer ever again, rate of fire was what needed to change. So I'm really glad to see they decided to up the rate of fire on Fan again. I think it's still probably not quite enough, to be honest. Between Fan being a little faster and flashbang recovery happening a little quicker, you maybe are in a better position to one round some of the non-tanks again, take down like a Reaper, for example. But on the whole, that ability still feels really awkward. It still feels like it doesn't have an explicit role, because you can't play McCree truthfully as a flanker in the current meta. And I don't know that he's ever going to have a specific value when he's so limited in terms of his short range engagements. He's great at medium range, but at medium range, you have so many other choices. So I don't know what their long term vision for him is, but I dig these changes, and I think they're a very positive sign. I'm also glad that it's not something we wait on forever. Like, as soon as they made the changes and it emerged that McCree was all over the place in competitive and on the pro scene, they just turned around and said, yep, okay, we got to dial him back down. And that happened in, you know, days, not weeks.
Sure, sure. What do you think about these changes, Jimmy?
I'm really happy with the changes to Ana. I think this will help her get a lot more play and just encourage people to play her more. And I still think, like Rosh was saying last week, she's not going to be that solo support ever. That's just how her toolkit works. And really, there's only a couple others that really feel that, oh, I can do a solo support role. And we've talked it at length about who those are, Lucio and Mercy, obviously. But just having that quicker rate of fire is going to allow her to really keep people up and be able to decide a little bit better between doing damage or healing the team. The McCree thing, I'm a little sad about, because like Kevin, I was really excited to see McCree kind of come back up. But like Rosh was saying, he really became the anti-Pharah hero, and she really got pushed down after kind of starting to climb her way back up into the meta here. It'll be interesting to see how the Fan the Hammer buff turns out. I don't think it's going to have too much of an impact, but it lets him hopefully be able to compete if someone gets behind him and starts really closing in on him.
Yeah, one thing I would say about McCree, and I think it's been Blizzard's design philosophy. Kevin and I are used to talking a lot about Hearthstone, where balance isn't a super proactive thing and isn't really dictated for the highest level of play. They don't really balance around that. Whereas Overwatch, it's completely anti that. The reason why these McCree changes are is not because people in levels 40 through 65 are being super deadly with McCree and it's breaking games. It's players at 65 plus and in these competitive games where McCree is an auto pick. You pick him every time. He's so good against so many heroes with that huge long range. And so he still needs to have that, because if his range isn't farther than soldiers, you'll never really see him played over soldier. Unless he's really good close range, but then he has to be like better than Reaper at close range, which is kind of a dangerous prospect. So they kind of make it kind of a pseudo in between, right? Where you got a little bit more range, definitely in the right hands, he can be really effective, but at the same time, make him better at the close range so that he's got that versatility. So you don't just auto snap pick a soldier or a Reaper, and McCree can be just as viable. So I think these are the right changes. I think we'll see this week if it's going to be enough. But overall, definitely a positive move in the right direction. We'll just see if they tweaked it back too far or not.
And that's the other thing, is I think I've been really impressed with how quick Blizzard has been proactive about putting these changes out and just being like, let's see if this works. Let's let the community touch these and just see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I think the thing that really sticks out for me is now that they've gone back and adjusted him, like to John's point, they're making these adjustments really quickly to reflect what's going on in the pro scene. I don't think they're trying to get balance to a place where every character sees equal play at the pro level. I think they just understand that, you know, the meta has its own sort of like meta is going to drive part of it. Map is going to drive part of it. And you may get to a place where people take different characters on different map types or in different game types. But the prevalence of McCree went from everybody needs to run, you know, a mid-range damage dealer to the whole game is centered on, like, I watched several people tell me that they were scrimming with three supports and McCree as their only damage dealer. And it was just boost the McCree and let your McCree get headshots and kill people. Like, at that point, it's oppressive and it screws up balance and watchability even. So I'm really glad that they were proactive on that. And I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see similar in the future.
For sure. So, Jimmy, you're making changes to the show notes in the middle of the show. And I want to know what the heck you're doing over there.
I just saw this the other day, and I saw that there was nothing in esports news. And I saw Ask Joshy, one of the casters for Overwatch. He is going to be casting the $300,000 Overwatch Open the next two weekends in London. And that's put together by Faceit and E-League. If you're not familiar with E-League is putting on right now a Counter-Strike Global Offensive tournament that is on TBS, I believe. So that's like really big news for esports, and that they're touching Overwatch is awesome. I think we've touched on this before on the show, but it's really cool to see someone like Ask Josh, who's been in esports for such a long time and really been grinding at it behind the scenes, to be able to do an event like this. And I'm really excited to see how this event goes. And $300,000 up for grabs is pretty significant, and will bring hopefully the best teams out there.
We've got a lot of big tournaments. There's at least three going on right now. That's 100K plus. And then now we've got a 300K. We've got that thing with TBS going on, which is another E-League thing, right? And
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're killing it. And every time I've started, you know, getting back into watching tournaments, every time I've watched a tournament, I've enjoyed it more and more as I understand more and more what's going on. It definitely was really hard at first. It doesn't have that instant lovability that like Hearthstone has, but I'm really seeing the appeal now for watching Overwatch as an esport. So I just hope that people keep investing in it, because I think it's a really good game, and I think Blizzard actually might be sitting on a gold mine right now. So I'm really excited to see what we see for the rest of the year. When are we going to hear about BlizzCon Overwatch stuff?
That's what we're waiting on. Oh my god!
Come on. It's got to be
coming
gotta soon. Gotta be soon, right?
It's hard to say, right? I mean, originally we sort of had predicted that they would do the same thing this year with Overwatch that they had done last year with Heroes, and run a series of summer qualifiers and have some kind of quasi qualified tournament. Now it's looking like, with the amount of time that's left, there's probably no opportunity to do that. They're going to be limited to running some kind of invitational, which is fine, but I would love to hear them say it. Like, I can't imagine a world in which there isn't an Overwatch stage at BlizzCon this year. So just getting those details would be great.
Yeah, I totally agree. Soon, right? I mean, tonight we've got the Hearthstone adventure being announced, so I'm going to be up late for that. Great.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me of that. I'll stay up with you for that.
I wonder, are we allowed to like live stream that? Do you think? Is that against the rules?
I doubt it.
Kind of fun to do. Anyways. Yeah, so we'll see. It's got to be the next couple weeks, I would think, if they're going to do anything. Unless they decide to do some invitational type thing, there's no qualifiers, which they very well might do. Then they might postpone it a little bit. But we're coming into August now. We've got August, September, October, and then BlizzCon. So that's 3 months. So it'll be really cool. All right. Shall we go into the main event this week, boys? We probably have a shorter show because, A, we ran way late because computers are stupid.
Twitch.
Right? Yeah. So I think that's what it ended up being, maybe. But I was still having... Anyways. So it's going to be a little bit shorter show, and then we'll get back at it next week. Full. Let's go ahead and jump in.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
Ready for battle. So with the most recent few patches, Blizzard has taken a stand that one hero limit will be the format for competitive Overwatch going forward. This has a lot of implications on how the game is played, how you communicate, and how you win. So this week, we want to tackle some of these key issues when approaching a one hero limit in competitive play for Overwatch. So that's what we're doing this week, and we're just going to chat about it. Nothing super formal. Just going to get everyone's thoughts and ideas on it, and then we'll have Rosh on again to correct us, and it'll be great. So first, Jimmy, I'm going to ask you, what impacts do you think one hero limit has on the individual player? So the vacuum, you're not going in with a team. You're just, you know, going to chill, play some competitive play by yourself. How is this going to change how that person plays?
I think you have to be much more flexible if you're not rushing to lock in a hero. We talked, this might be more we're talking about in a little bit here, but just having to be able to fill the roles that are needed for the team composition that you're playing against or playing with, and you really need to know who counters what in what situation. Even by map, it can really vary. So it's going to be really interesting to see how players adjust to this. It's going to be a little frustrating, I think, initially, obviously, learning all these different heroes, 22 different heroes now. But I'm excited for it. I've been playing with it for a little bit, and it's been really fun. And I've actually played quite a bit more Reinhardt because of it. Sure. Just filling in that when I say warrior tank spot, there we go.
It's like you do a heroes podcast or something.
I know. I know. But yeah, we're going to see people just have to be more flexible. And I think hopefully it helps people communicate more on mic. I've had a few times where people will really talk through things, and they've been really nice and respectful. Thankfully, the games that I've been in, I've heard some negative experiences, but I think that'll get filtered out as time goes on a little bit. But yeah, you're going to need to know more heroes than you're used to, and you're going to have to flex out of roles you're not necessarily comfortable with.
I was going to ask you, my follow-up question would be, are you finding yourself having to play more heroes, or are you still able to kind of stick to your favorite three or four?
I've generally been able to stick to the same three or four, but I've had to flex to tank a couple times.
Okay.
And that's just a role I've not really played a whole lot in Overwatch, but okay. It's making me hopefully a better player as I learn more about those heroes.
Got it. Nice. Kev, what do you think, man? How do you think one hero limit is doing so far?
I think it's great. I think it's a really positive change for the game. And for all the reasons that we've discussed before, right? It makes the game easier to play, easier to call, easier to watch. Everything about it to me is a net improvement. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying like, oh, Blizzard had to reverse course on this. I maintain that they really wanted the focus to be on hero switching, and they were never, I don't think, married to the idea of multiples of a single character. That was just sort of a byproduct of the unlimited hero switching model that they launched with. So I think it's been really good. I think it makes competitive more interesting and a lot more fun, truthfully. It also, I to your point, I think does ask people to be a little bit more flexible in their character selection and know a few more of the heroes. Not necessarily to the point where you have to play all of them effectively, but it does sort of make it so that when you load into a competitive game, it feels a little bit like a draft. Like it feels like you sit and take the time to make a choice, see what your teammates are doing, have a quick conversation.
Argument.
As opposed to before. Argument, sure. Whereas before, I jumped in and was like, all right, well, it's Temple of Anubis. We're on offense. I'm going to play Soldier 76. And it was just like, you just grabbed what you thought made sense. And then if you're a good person and you saw that your team didn't have a support, maybe you'd swap. But I think this is a good thing. And ultimately, there may be a few people who don't love it or whose behavior has been tailored in a negative way by it. But honestly, I would rather that the game veer away from those people and towards where it's headed right now, because I think it's healthier for the game and the people who play it in the long run.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Quick Match is still there for those players who don't really want to be
right.
affected yeah. by this.
I mean, they can solve that all sorts of other ways. You've got quick play. You've got the ability to throw things together in brawls. Like, there's all sorts of ways that you can make the game look and feel different for people who want that sort of no holds barred feel. I also think long term, once the community is a little bit more stable, you'll see people coordinating for custom games with different rule sets using all sorts of third party tools and services, whether they're on Reddit or Discords or whatever else. And that'll solve that problem, too. If people are like, yeah, I just want to play a game where we use this rule set. Communities have formed around peculiar rule sets or ways of playing in every other Blizzard game. You've got people who are role playing in World of Warcraft. You've got people who are, you know, playing from a strictly free to play mentality in Hearthstone. Like, everybody kind of finds their own niche and does their own thing. And I would be shocked if Overwatch doesn't develop those same sort of like subgenres within the overall group of people that we have for players.
What do you guys think about the inherent, I'm going to call it selfishness, that happens when, because, you know, for us, I know both of you and I know myself, we're kind of team player type of people where we would rather play a hero we wouldn't prefer, but it fits the team more than I'm really good with Pharah, so I'm just going to play Pharah. How do you think this is going to address that kind of troll aspect of the hero picking aspect going with the one hero limit, especially because it's not like a, do you think with a one hero limit, we might see an order be introduced, or only if it really becomes a problem?
I don't think it'll be an issue, to be honest. I mean, like I said earlier, if that kind of behavior becomes prevalent, I think the kinds of people who play the game that way will slowly be edged out. I think, and that may sound awful, but honestly, this isn't a free-to-play game. There's no impetus to keep people in the ecosystem. They've paid for their game license. If they want to play, they will. If they don't, they won't. I would much prefer that the game stay flexible and not have that formalized drafting process. You'd need more setup time. Games would start slower. Right now, it feels like you kind of just have enough time to sort of quickly decide which character you're going to play, maybe negotiate one or two quick swaps, and then run to get into position or get ready. I would much prefer that they keep it that way than go to a more onerous process. And I don't think there's a lot of people who are trying to troll in that process. I don't think anybody's jumping in and trying to deny someone else a particular character. That's really if we ever got to a point where the game needed something like that, I think you might see the ability for in competitive or in pro level play, like a ban for a certain character or something. And even that, I think, truthfully runs more contrary to the way that the game is played in terms of unlimited hero swapping than any right. kind of hero limit.
Yeah, I would be so surprised.
I would be to shocked. See a like ban. I'm thinking out loud, but I really do not see a world in which that occurs. I like the way it works right now. And I think that the people who don't like it are people who are being pushed out of their particular character because they only want to play that one character, which right. is not the game you signed up for. Like, that's not what was on the box when you bought the game, guys.
Right. Well, and I still think that if Blizzard were able to keep the balance around no hero limit, I think that they would have kept that too. Because I think it's the same thing. But if they run into issues with certain heroes being picked, sure. But with a one hero limit, that's already kind of a soft ban, right? Because you only can choose one of each. And most, if there's a player that's so powerful that is auto picked and breaking the game with just one of them, they would never be balanced that way for longer than just a few days anyway, with how quickly Blizzard has been changing those really powerful heroes, as we even just saw with McCree. And McCree wasn't like blow away amazing. We've seen people do much better. The old McCree for a while. And so, yeah, I totally get that. So, Jimmy, you're talking about competitive play. You were saying it's been a lot more fun with the one hero limit. Just kind of curious, is there anything more you can tell us about your experience with the one hero limit and why it's been more fun for you?
It's just it feels a lot more balanced, and you're not having to deal with a lot of gimmicky stuff. I mean, we've talked about how in competitive there was a tournament over a weekend that they had opened up the one hero limit, and it was six maze tackling a point and resetting the Overwatch or overtime over and over and over. It sometimes like gimmicky comps are just honestly not fun to play against. I was playing Quick Match the other night, and we went up against a six Torbjorn comp, and we just steamrolled them. And I was like, okay, so what was the point of that? The thing with one hero limit is it really exemplifies all the individual heroes' strengths, I feel like, a lot more. And you're just not seeing as much gimmicky stuff anymore. And I don't know. It's really good to see all the heroes be used in different ways and not have like double stacks. Like, I mean, we had for a time in competitive Overwatch where it was the two Winston, two Lucio, two McCree or something like that. And we're just not going to see anything like that anymore. And I think that's really valuable to the game in keeping it exciting and keeping the games a good variety of play styles.
Sure. I almost forgot about this. Did you guys see that they're starting to launch some console Overwatch leagues these last couple weeks?
I have not seen this.
There's one out for like 25K, which is kind of cool. So we might actually see some console stuff. It will never be even a meaningful fraction of what we see from PC, which is a bummer because Kevin and I, we play on PC, but it's just, man, it's such a fun game on console. I get it. It's not as high of a skill cap at all, but it's really fun to play on console. So I would like to see more of that, more of the console strategies too, because it is different between PC and console, and they're balancing it different because of that. I was having so much fun on Symmetra on console for the longest time until this most recent round of changes that nerfed those turrets, like, what, 30% or something like that? And, man, if there's one thing I wish Blizzard could figure out, it would be how to make turrets more viable at the competitive level, which is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Because you've got turrets, which are auto aim, and then you have competitive, which is the most skillful of people. So I wish that there was a way to make it work.
This kind of throws back to one of our older episodes, though, where we talked about kind of one of the most important things in Overwatch is mobility. And turrets are just the polar opposite of that. You're not going to be able to really move that efficiently, especially against quicker heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's an argument to be made, though, that you could get to a place where you could do some cool stuff, like have, for example, the ability to do something maybe like a Roadhog hook, but that pulls an ally or an allied turret or fixture so that you could actually do some clever positional things, take advantage of map geography a little bit differently, abuse verticality. There's lots of things, I think, that are actually ways that you can make those characters feel more powerful without having to resort to the gimmicks of like, okay, I'm going to play Torbjorn, and on the second defense point on Volskaya, I'm going to put my turret on one of the little hovering platforms so that it just kind of keeps running around and shooting people as it drives by. Like, that's not effective in a competitive sense at all. And it's annoying to play against, but it's really there's is. Definitely but some other
kind
ways
of awesome. That I think you kind of awesome.
Kind of, sure. Kind of yeah. Awesome. But there's definitely, I think, opportunities for you to increase the team synergized skill ceiling for characters that have limited mobility or those auto locking functions. I think you could make an argument for something cool like that, even if it was something as absurd as, like, you know, maybe there's a character that Bastion could build his turret, or not Bastion, Torbjorn could build his turret on top of or something, and then it could move around with someone like this. Who knows, right? There's a number of ways that you could do those things, and it's a question of what we'll see Blizzard decide to do to really open the game up as they add more characters. Because I envision, truthfully, that if we're still having this conversation a year from now, we're going to be having a conversation about a game that has 40 characters in it.
Yeah, I totally agree. So one last thing before we actually kind of wrap it up. That's kind of funny. We've got one hero limit now. Is there a better solution? We've kind of talked about it back and forth, but we haven't actually been able to see it in the game before we could actually talk about if we think there's a way to do it better. Do you guys think that this is currently the best way to continue to pursue competitive Overwatch, or do you think that there's even a better way?
I think until proven otherwise, this is definitely the best right now, and I can't think of another solution that would really be more efficient, because if you limit, say two heroes, two of the same hero per side, you're going to run into the same problem we ran early on in Overwatch of the double Winston really being effective. And Rosh and you were talking about this last week, where if you balance based on the fact that you assume that there's going to be two Winstons in a match, you're going to just completely make them unplayable solo. So, I mean, this seems to be working so far now, and the community has had a pretty positive reaction to it. So until there's another solution that someone comes up with, maybe Kevin probably has someone grinding his gears right now, but I can't think of anything that would be much better than one hero limit right now.
Oh, you're muted, buddy.
I'm really bad at this.
Ah.
There's a few characters that have been, I think, negatively affected by one hero limit, because a huge part of what made them effective was the ability to chain gun abilities or synergies together, right? Winston. Double Lucio for double auras, Winston for rotating shields, Tracer. Stuff like that. Yeah, the double Tracer days of yesteryear. There's definitely things that made defensive or offensive strategies work because you could actually see the multiplicative effects of multiple of a single character. I think, honestly, that Blizzard can probably dial up the tuning on some of those characters if they're worried about it. You could make Winston's barrier last a little longer or absorb a little more damage, for example, and then you don't need two Winstons. One is good enough. So having said all of that, I think the only reason that we're even having this conversation right now is because there's such a narrow pool of characters to choose from. When you get to a point where there's twice as many characters in the game, one hero limit is going to feel fine, because if you want to run, sake of argument, something like double support, right? Right now, that feels really awkward because it's basically, all right, well, there's no good reason not to run the only AoE healer, right, in Lucio, and then a single target healer that has an ability you want, which generally is Mercy, because you really value that res. But all of a sudden, I mean, imagine that we move forward with the game and you get to a point where there's a character who can put something comparable to a Zenyatta orb up on an ally that will resurrect them if they die. And you get a light AoE heal where they heal the closest two targets that they're next to, or they can heal a target with an active ability and they have a passive aura around them that heals when they're not using that active ability. Like, you can just do this all day, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I have this character who's kind of like a weird blend of a Mercy and a Lucio. So do I use that and a Lucio? Do I use that and a Zenyatta? And there'll be so many choices and options that I think it'll solve itself. One hero limit will feel really, really good when you're choosing from a roster of characters that there's 10 characters to each role, not four or five.
Sure. Yeah, I think I'm in the same place as you guys. I think one hero limit is kind of the best and the easiest way to kind of directly address this. Are you smiling at the healing turret comment in chat?
I'm totally smiling at the healing turret
from Joe Brewer 00 says healing turrets. Oh man, that's just the trolliest of trolls. Anyways, I think right now with the limited amount of heroes, something that I think warrants discussion is the 2-1-1-1-1, where you can have basically a double of one hero and then the rest one hero limit. Gives you some opportunity to hero stack, but even then, if it were ever to happen, it would need to change as soon as we get more heroes. And
that would promote all sorts of awful behavior around trying to snap lock to grab a character, because somebody would just grab it knowing that it doesn't matter. They can always take Reaper, or they can always take Soldier. And if somebody else wants it, now they can grab that second slot. And then which character do you want duplicates of? Two guys snap lock Soldier. And it's like, well, no, on this map, what we really wanted was, you know, double D.Va or whatever. Like, that would cause more drama than the one hero limit ever will.
It just seems like it would make for a user experience mess. I like
never agree
how do you decide in a match with everyone queuing by themselves? Who gets to choose the two that get picked? I mean,
it's the same right now, though, right? It's who gets to choose the one first. Like, I get it. Like, honestly, just from like a UI perspective and then a confusion thing of like new players not knowing what that is, jumping into competitive mode. But I don't know, like if it's going to be toxic now, giving players the ability to actually be able to run to something, I don't really see that being an issue. That being said, I still stand on one hero limit kind of being just kind of the best, but dang, guys, yeah, it's just trying to have a conversation, man.
It's still going to be better for people who are playing at the highest level in terms of tracking ults. It's going to be better for observing and casting. Adding any kind of variance to that makes things more difficult, bottom line, and not really in a good way. One hero limit might promote some discussion amongst teammates about, oh, I'm really best on a Junkrat. I would like to play Junkrat. But the snap lock of two Junkrats when the team is actively saying in chat, no, guys, we'd like to run double Mercies or we'd like to run double Reinhardts or whatever. That to me feels like it's a way more obvious source of team tension, not individual player tension. And that's something you want to avoid. You want it to feel like each player has to make a decision about how they're going to contribute to the team, not the excess debate that's going to be caused by that weird team composition discussion. I don't know. I really think one hero limit is going to stand the test of time as being really good and healthy for this game.
Okay. Fine. Have it your way, Kev. Whatever.
I intend to.
I know you do. That's funny. All right. I think we got to get out of here. A little bit shorter show, but I think we probably will get close to an hour by the time we're done. So, hey, not bad. Sorry we started late, chat. Thanks for hanging up late anyways, but you're probably just staying up waiting for the Hearthstone announcement. So I totally, completely get it.
Lots of really good conversation in chat tonight. So
yes.
Check out that replay on Twitch. You'll check out some of the cool conversations that our viewers had.
For sure. Well, let's get out of here. But first, let's do some iTunes reviews. Kev, you want to hit us up on these? Actually, no, Kev, that's not your job, Kev.
I know.
And actually, we're going to do something different. Kev, we've been working on this for a while, but I think it's time. So we've been playing around with the idea of launching a Patreon for the show, but we wanted to make sure it was at the right time, that we had a plan long term for the show. And in the last couple of weeks, things have just started feeling really good. We're looking at bringing an additional host on to bring some expertise, because we love Overwatch, but let's be honest, none of us are authoritative at all. And we can all disagree with each other for an hour and we would probably all be wrong at the end of it once a really good player gets in here. So we're looking at doing that. We're looking at getting our new logo, and we wanted to do some, we're playing around with ideas for like game nights, and we decided we wanted to make sure we're totally invested. We're happy with where the show's going, and we are. So starting tonight, I'm literally pressing the button right now. I hit it. I pressed it. I hope it didn't log me out. Nope, it's live. We have a Patreon. You can hit it up at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. And we're right there. If you like the show, like what we're doing here, want to support it, want it to help us be able to invest more time, money, and effort into creating awesome Overwatch content, then this is how you can help. So head over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Check out ways you can get involved. Tweet us, email us if you have any questions. And yeah, we will go from there. So anything you guys want to add to that?
I just want to throw it out there because we spent a lot of time working on this, guys. This is sort of a first run at what we'd like the Patreon to look like. And of course, much like Well Met for John and I, the payload is going to be 100% supported by you guys. So what we're able to do in terms of growing the show moving forward is entirely up to our fans and listeners. We appreciate you guys so much. So head over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Check it out. If you've got ideas for stretch goals or additional things you'd like to see as rewards for different levels of support, let us know. Hit us up by email or on Twitter. Tell us what you'd like to see us do. This is kind of our first pass at what we think is going to be good for the show, but we're open to doing more for you guys. We just need to hear what you actually want.
Yeah. Jimmy, anything from you about that?
No, well, I'm just really excited to get the ball rolling on this and really excited to see what people think of it and hear people's thoughts on it. Tweet at any of us if you have any thoughts, and we'd be glad to hear them.
Awesome. Let's jump into some iTunes reviews then. Jimmy, you want to hit us up with those?
Yeah, it is.
Jimmy, are you sure? Wake up, Jimmy, we lost Jimmy.
I just browsed away from the notes for some reason. But we have a couple here from the United States of America, 02EPH, and Mad Scout TFU, friends of our show. Thank you so much for those reviews. And all the way from Australia, I think I see you over there, Napo Wagi?
Yeah,
that's the best. That's the best pronunciation ever.
Napawagi.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry I completely butchered your name, but thank you so much for the 5-star iTunes review. It really helps us out, and I made Kevin laugh, so appreciate
it. It's always the best. We need a Kevin laugh sounder on this show, so now we should have one. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do some shout outs for the week. Kev, we'll start with you.
Nothing major for me this week. I'm going to be tied up this weekend doing a family reunion thing. So looking forward to catching up with some friends and family over the weekend. Won't be around for WellMet, unfortunately. Big shout out, I guess, for me this week to all the people who have tweeted me or DM'd me to play Overwatch on Xbox. I've gotten so many, like, I kind of threw it out there. It's like a haha. It's cool if I had to play on Xbox, but like a dozen of you have messaged me, like, here's my game tag, at me, let's play, which is awesome. I'm sorry I haven't been online more. I was out of town last week for work. Let's get on and play some this weekend. I'll try and be on if you haven't already added me. My DMs are open on Twitter at Lack of Realism. Hit me up with your gamer tag. I'll give you mine, and let's get out there and play some games.
Awesome. Jimmy, what about you?
Pretty quiet this week after 3 weekends of casting the ESL qualifiers for Heroes of the Storm. Yeah. I have the weekend off, so there'll be a nice relaxing weekend. Probably play a bunch of Overwatch. Thank you, everyone, for supporting me with that. I really appreciate that. And just go play some Overwatch.
Awesome. Well, as for me, I've got a few things. First, big thanks to the guys over at Convert to Raid. I guested this last week on the Battle.net News, which is the next evolution of the Convert to Raid podcast. They have kind of transformed from a World of Warcraft raiding podcast to kind of an all things Blizzard podcast. It's my 4th time on there now. It's always a blast. I look up to Pat Crane for basically everything podcast based. So it's completely humbling whenever I get to sit even in the same Skype call as the guy. So check that out, converttoraid.com. And also, I'm fundraising to go to TwitchCon. Jimmy, you and I are going to be hanging out at TwitchCon, aren't we?
No, that'll be awesome. We're actually having a panel today kind of threw together, and they're allowing me to do it there. We're about podcasting in Twitch, and you're going to be on the panel alongside Mick Montgomery, Avian, and oh my gosh, I forget the last panelist.
Tara Ray. Trista Ray.
Yes. So that'll be a really great variety of panelists on there doing a whole bunch of different things with podcasting and Twitch. So if you have the opportunity to go to TwitchCon and watch our panel, we'd really appreciate you coming out and hanging out.
Actually,
I had one thing really quick.
I wasn't done with mine, but fine. Okay. Go ahead.
The Battle.net client just updated for me, and now in the beta version of the client is Blizzard streaming. So you'll be able to stream right from the client.
What?
You say what now?
It just updated for me, yes.
To be continued on that.
To go straight to
Facebook Live?
Yep.
Cool. Interesting. Okay. Wow.
Oh, sorry.
I cannot wait to check that out. So as we were talking about TwitchCon, I wasn't planning on going to TwitchCon and I wasn't budgeting to go to TwitchCon, and I don't have all of the money I necessarily need to go to TwitchCon. So I'm doing some fundraising. And so if you want to check that out and help me get there, my goal is I need to raise about $600 by the end of September. And I'm already 115 there. So really doing solid work there. If you want to come check that out, come over to twitch.tv/kickedtripod or patreon.com/kickedtripod. And we can chat about that. We're going to do some variety streams over the next couple weeks, months to do that with a lot of the well-played party people, convert to raid people, BlizzPro people. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week for episode 33. You can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find our awesome music, which is so good, by the way, at jakebuttoneau.ca. You can check out, get some graphic design work done at scythedesigns.com. Find us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. And send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We greatly appreciate your iTunes reviews. It means the world to us. Makes us so happy. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts. And we are out of here. For myself, Jimmy, and Kevin, we will see you guys next week. Bye, guys. Bye. I'm looking for my buttons. I moved everything around. Where is it? Okay, there it is. See you guys. Bye.
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 The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.